for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre.
Radio at its best.
And now back to Satchmo.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
From the Art Center in Carrboro, you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. This is the Speakeasy brought to you by the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. Got a birthday kid in the studio this morning, Police Captain Jacques Gilbert. He is the police captain of Apex and also a community leader there. And it is his birthday today. What is it, the big 3-0? Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, brother. I won't give it on the air, man. I got to keep it right here between us.
Gotcha.
No one else, okay?
I understand.
All right.
Well, we can do it in code at some other point.
Absolutely, yes,
but
sir.
Before I go back to Jacques, I want to... Do we say Jacques or Jack?
It's Jacques.
Jacques, okay. So you prefer the pronunciation.
Absolutely.
I want to make sure I got it right. We've had Jacques on before. I just wanted to touch off the show with a little bit of historical trivia to begin with. Rocco, can you run me a little hotter? Just want to make sure I'm here. There we go. That's it. I can hear myself now. If you were wondering where God Willing and the Creekstone Rise came from... Here's a little did you know. God Willing and the Creeks Don't Rise was in reference to the Creek Indians and not a body of water. So, you know, get your head out of the water, people. It was written by Benjamin Hawkins in the late 18th century. Hawkins was a politician and Indian diplomat. While in the South, he was requested by the president to return to Washington. In his response, he was said to write, God Willing and the Creeks Don't Rise, as in, I suppose, rise up. Because he capitalized the word creeks, it induced that he was referring to the Creek Indian tribe and not a body of water. And my final one to give you people more wisdom this morning is mind your P's and Q's. I bet some of you are wondering where that came from. It actually came out of a tavern. At local taverns, pubs, and bars, people in England drank from a pint and a quart-sized container. A barmaid's job was to keep an eye on the customers and keep the drinks coming. She had to pay close attention and remember who was drinking what, in pints or in quarts. Hence the phrase, mind your P's and Q's. Honey, sell them some more beer. That was that idea. That makes more sense to me, and I even like that better. It's much more colorful than what we've been going on with.
Oh, yes, man. I mean, you really educated me on some great things here.
Oh, so. Fantastic. Well, yeah. You know, I used to think it was related to the alphabet. Obviously not.
Right.
So happy birthday, kid.
Thank you so
much. And welcome back on the Speakeasy, man.
I'm so happy to be here.
You've You've done some amazing things since I've seen you last. And I think it's been, what, a couple of years since you've been on?
Yeah, 2013, yes. Yeah. And like I said, it's a pleasure to be back. So thanks for having me.
Well, I've been wanting to get you back a lot sooner, but what really sort of catapulted me is when the president of the Apex Arts Council pointed out to me that you had just designed a new police car. Shall we start the show with that? You want to go there now?
We can go there.
Oh, yes. We can go there. I didn't know if you can let that cat out of the bag yet.
Well, I'll just start by saying this, man. It's great that he recognized that. And hopefully he didn't see it behind him with blue lights. I hope he didn't see it that way. Okay.
Because they'd have been looking for me. I was in the car with him.
But, yeah, we're really excited about it. I would say everything was directed by our great police chief, John Letney. And he put together a team of guys. It's our fleet committee. And he put me as a chair over that fleet committee. And these guys just rolled up their sleeves and came up with this awesome design police car. And it's actually grabbed national attention.
So that's what you were telling me.
Yeah. I can't let that cat out of the bag. Okay. But I'll tell you, there's going to be something big that the citizens of Apex and surrounding people will really be excited about.
And what is when that cat comes out of the bag, I got you. I mean, I'm thinking, I was just in love with the color design. I mean, I had no idea you had that kind of artistry in you because I have seen a lot of European police cars during my travels and my stay in Europe, and this beats anything I've seen.
Yes. It's beautiful. I can't take the credit for it. There are three other guys that really dug deep, and they came up with that design, but I'll tell you, everyone, I salute you. Yeah, we had the vision. We wanted to go back to traditional colors, as you can remember, the black and white police cars. So mm-hmm. we kind of had that in mind. But we also didn't want to abandon the current-looking vehicle that had gray in it and had some blue and things like that. So mm-hmm. what we decided to do was go with black and white and transition to gray as well. And it just came out so beautiful.
It did. And for some reason, am I remembering, there was blue in it somewhere? Was it on top? Because I remember the blue just had an interesting element with it.
Well, obviously the blue lights has an interesting element, as you know.
Especially when they go off, yeah.
Exactly. But no, there was blue in the graphics of the Apex Police. So,
okay,
but
that's
now
what it was.
It's just black and white and gray, and it really stands out. So it's illuminated at night, very reflective, and so that really grabs the attention of folks, so that helps the officer as well when they're on traffic.
The gray is what spoke to me, I think, just the blending of those colors.
Yeah, so we like to say it's traditional colors with modern style. So it's a great,
very
great
Euro, although I think it outdoes what I've seen in Euro.
Yes, we're really excited about it.
And what do you think of this? Just to focus on something we probably both don't want to focus on. What do you think of this suddenly getting Apex's horn touted as being the best place to live in America?
Wow. You know, it's kind of, you look at it from two different perspectives. One, being a hometown Apex guy, mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. 'Cause Apex is a great town, but at the same time, that brings maybe some challenges, but hopefully we're prepared for that. So it's a great thing for the town of Apex. Yes.
It's going to take the small town feel away from it, I'll tell you that, which is what I've always loved. So I was kind of dreading that to a degree.
Yes. Well, I'll say this. The town council in Apex, they have done a really amazing job of trying to keep that steady growth but not trying to overdo it. So hopefully they will continue that same vision.
Unlike Raleigh that just went berserk.
When people
just kept saying, oh, come on, it's the best place in the country to live, blah, blah. And they got in more people than they could handle.
Yes. Well, our town manager, Bruce Rafford, said it the best on an interview. He said, you know, you guys are welcome to come, but just don't all come at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's what we would like to say to everybody.
We're going to have to stop some of you and say exactly. Apex is closed. Sorry.
Absolutely. Yes. But again, it's a great thing for the town, and hopefully it will help with many things, but at the same time, we really have to be careful and look at a good model and manage it well.
Well, and you're going to have something on your hands because you're going to need to expand the police department.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You said you're a little tight right now.
We are really tight with staffing, mm-hmm. With the amount of workload, with the growth, and that's just not the police department, but also different divisions or different departments within the town government. So,
is it more because there's a sudden influx even now?
I really think so. Mm-hmm. I think just, the growth brings those challenges and, building inspections because they're building a lot of houses. And then with that, there are people. When there's a mass people, then we have other things to go with it. So from the police end, we just want to continue to be one of the best police departments in the nation. And with that, we have to stay up on our staffing to make sure that we keep that.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been close to 2 years since I've seen you. That just boggles the mind. We're not going to let that much time slip by. I'm actually asking Jacques to be part of my radio theater when I start creating these. I'm already doing this, creating these monologues for different people I know to come on and perform. Jacques is one of the people I'm going to be picking on.
Wow. I mean, that's an honor that you would have me to do that.
No, I like your voice and just your personal charisma.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
Jacques,
it.
You have a great radio voice. You do.
Yes, you do.
Well, coming from you, Rocco, that's huge because you have the voice.
Well, radio. I've heard a lot of people on the air, and you have a great voice. You do. Well, for theater, for narration,
absolutely.
For radio, it's there. I mean, you have it.
Well, I'll say this then. I retire in close to 4 years, so I may have something else when I retire. Can I come hang out with
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Okay, come hang out.
You want to be a Sidewinder, man? Come on.
Thank you.
And you know, Jacques, you were talking about the coloration and Claudio of the police cars. It goes back to this deal of everything affecting everything.
Right.
And the way an officer looks, his uniform, the police cars, it all has an impact on everybody.
Psychologically, yeah, very much so.
And I can remember reading years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I believe the North Carolina Highway Patrol uniform and the police cars were voted maybe the top two or three police car uniform look in the country of all the Highway Patrol cars and all the highway uniforms, highway patrol uniforms across the country. Our state had high marks with the way the uniform looks on the highway patrolman.
Yes. You know, when I decided to get in law enforcement, that was my dream. My plan was to start with Apex, work there 2 years, and then transition to state highway patrol for that reason.
They look so good.
So professional.
They really do. And if you travel around the country, you can see some of the troopers just do not look as good as our people.
It's amazing what a good-looking uniform will do, isn't it?
It will do it. It will do it. Look what it did for me, you know.
walk into that bar and all the honeys want to come after you. That's right.
That's right.
I had that going on when I was a chef in my chef whites.
Wow.
Go into the bar, take the hat off, you know.
Man, hello, I'm here. Something special to see.
Yeah, thanks for buttering me up.
I used to work with a fella in the public schools. He was the high school football coach, and he always made it a point to have those kids at least look good when they went on that field. They might not have won all the games, but we're going to look good when we go out there.
Yes, sir.
And it
makes a difference.
It does.
It does.
It really does.
Creates a visual spectacle for one thing. And the one thing I like that I notice this especially in Apex with the Apex Police Department, but in some areas in general, it seems like the squad cars are taking on a little bit of a less intimidating look, which I think is a good psychology.
Because
normally if you have something really stark, black and white, it looks almost like the Gestapo's coming after you, and man, I know I'm in trouble. Whereas it's got a little bit of a friendlier feel to it now, especially the new design from what I've seen.
Yeah, that's a good point that you make. Because we're all about community policing.
Yeah.
I mean, we want our community or our citizens in the community to really partner with us. And that's just not a cliche. We really want them to be a part of what we're doing in town. So the car look goes with that.
Yeah.
And we just want to enhance those relationships. And one of the things I was speaking with you about earlier was, you know, we want to try to enhance relationships with youth. And last time we were talking about that one project.
Tell us about the project that you were talking about last time and you've actually helped bring to fruition.
Yes, sir. Well, we had this vision, I guess, 3 years ago now. And we wanted to reach out to the skateboarders in town. And, you know, from a police perspective, we were running them all around town and telling them they couldn't skate in certain areas.
Right. Yes.
And so one of the visions was we wanted to build a skate plaza. And
what do they call that? A skate rink or something?
It's a plaza,
a term
actually.
For
it's very inviting.
Okay.
It's not like barricaded off with fencing or anything like that. So
it's public space.
Yeah. So it mirrors things in town that they can actually skate off of.
Gotcha.
But I tell you what, the 13,000 square feet of concrete, it's really bringing people from all over the place.
I imagine you can see some amazing skating going on there. It's so amazing what these kids can do, man.
Yes, so we're really excited about that.
Didn't anybody tell them about gravity?
Yeah, I think so.
It is extraordinary.
Yes.
I remember there was this, I used to be a big fan of Burt Reynolds movies. There was this one movie that he made in which he wanted to have a child with a woman, but he didn't want... He didn't want her to raise. He basically just wanted to have a child that he could raise and didn't want a wife. And his friend asked him, why is it that you feel this way? And I'm just sort of reflecting on you wanting to help kids. Why is it you feel this way? He goes, I don't think I want to put up with a woman putting constant demands on me, but I love the idea of raising a little kid. And he goes, well, where'd you get that from? He says, well, let me tell you, that I live in New York City, overlooking Central Park, and there's this one long brick, brick wall. It's barely wide enough for a bicycle tire, but there's this kid that gets on there every morning, gets on a bicycle and zips from one end of that wall to the other, does a spin around on the other side, and comes back. And his buddy looking at him and says, okay, where are you going here? What are you talking about? He goes, I just want to be there when some son of a bitch tells him he's going to fall. And that made all the sense in the world to me. That's the only thing I like about that movie,
too. I'll tell you this about those skateboarders. They fall all the time. here's the key point. They get right back up and try again.
That's
why I love working with these youths.
Yeah. And eventually they'll get it down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, future leaders of Apex, I like to say.
And you were also thinking that it would give kids that might otherwise get themselves in trouble a little outlet. Because I feel really bad for the kind of childhood children are having today. Back in my day, I could go, growing up in Africa, I could go climb trees, I could explore the jungle, I had things to do. Sometimes, there were some dangers there, but, as a kid, I had sort of a Huckleberry Finn childhood, which I'm very grateful for, because I see that the kids today, they don't have anything close to that.
They really don't. And the amazing thing about this, difference is beautiful. Some kids play basketball, some kids play baseball, some play soccer, and then there are kids that like to skateboard.
Mm.
So we have to involve everyone, and this skate plaza is really putting them in a position to exercise their passion, and that's skateboarding. So it's dynamic. I think it's a national model that that other municipalities will take a look at and maybe want to mirror that. So
how did this initially come about? Tell us how something about the process.
Well, it was a crazy process from what many people thought. I got with my family and formed a nonprofit organization called Divine 919.
Okay.
And we basically saw a need, and we started having our own skate events. And
where were you having these?
We had it at a Spanish grocery store. It's now Compare Foods, but it used to be called Scott's Galaxy Foods.
Okay.
Right there on 55 and Apex. And my daughter and son and I planned the first event along with a kid named Tracy Stallworth. We started meeting about it, and I was a little reluctant. I was a little hesitant to have that skating event because I didn't really know much about the sport. But they educated me on a lot of things, and when we went to the parking lot and set up all the obstacles and ramps and everything, as soon as 9 o'clock hit, there were kids coming out of everywhere. It's like my daughter, and this is what, I'll quote her. She said, it looked like someone kicked over an anthill of skateboarders. So
wow.
It was amazing. So with that, we started having more events, and it started getting, town recognition, and councilmen came out and started asking us, what are you guys doing? So it brought that awareness that we needed it, and then the town just jumped on board and said, we got to get this done. And it went quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because since the last time you were on, between then and now, it happened.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's incredible. And how long has it been active now?
August 1st was the grand opening, and
wow!
I tell you what, there's never a time where there's not a skater there.
When you realize it's the best place to go for it. I mean, you can find your little spaces here and there, but here's a whole canvas for
you. And it's out.
It's just amazing.
The secret is out, so everybody's coming to it. But thanks for recognizing that.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely wanted to express that, and I just give people, anybody that has an incentive for anything along those lines, to just push it and then contact the right people to, like you did, come and take a look at this and get it going.
Yeah.
On that note, let's take a little musical interlude, Rocco, with whatever you've brought to the table.
You're listening to WCOM Chapel Hill, Carrboro. WCOM is also heard online at WCOMFM.org. Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Radio. You're listening to WCOM. And this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Now back to Claudio.
And on that note, I think we've run out of things to talk about here. We're having too much fun. So we're going to go to a moment of radio theater. I just want to introduce this next poem. This is actually the first poem I ever wrote back in 1972 in Munich at the original Löwenbräu Bar. We got there by Straßenbahn. And this, I was doing this because a friend of mine, whom I thought very highly of, thought that my stories had a very poetic quality and suggested I try to write some poetry. And losing my inhibitions to beer, I decided to go ahead and write this poem called The Perished Land about Africa on the back of a couple of beer lids. And had he told me that this was rubbish, I might never have tried poetry again. But he looked at it and he was just amazed that somebody had never written a poem before could write like this. And so that, I took that as my encouragement to continue in that medium. And I use poetry only as a more concise medium for the short story. I like writing short pieces. And so poetry just became a natural direction. But I still write my stories as well. This is The Perished Land and was recorded in my backyard late one evening. I live in the woods in Broadway, and you can hear the woods behind me. The Perished Land. Walking shadows in the twilight of night. Commitments of ancient customs vaguely in sight. Once entirely filled with savage life. Now succumbed unto the god of death. A time when the intruder perished by the knife. Now the knife remains everlasting in the sheath. The natives once dwelt and rejoiced upon this land. The intruder now has invaded and made of it a hand of sand. In the darkness of night, the visitors keep shut their doors. 'Tis believed spirits bathe in the perilous moors. All believers have their reason. At night they are made to pay the price of treason. The spirits rejoice in the twilight of night. Commitments of ancient customs vaguely in sight. This was the first poem I ever wrote, and I'm performing it here tonight in my realm, also known as my backyard in the deep woods in Broadway, North Carolina. I'm going to give the Afrikaans interpretation of it now, and that would be called Die Omgekeerde Land. Drentelende skaduwees in die skande van nag. Aanbindings van stokoue gewoontes iewers in sig. Op 'n tyd deur woedende lewe gevul, nou omgeslag na die god van die dode. Die dae toe die indringer het deur die mes omgekeer, nou bly die mes vir altyd in die skerm. Die naturelle het op 'n tyd gelewe en bevreugde in die land. Die indringer het nou ingedwing en maak van dit 'n handvol sand. In die nag hou die besoekers toe hul deur. Dit is geglo dat spooke ronddraf in die geheimsinnige vleie. Alle gloers het hul rede. S'nachts moet hulle die boete van woede betaal. Die spooke pret speel in die skade van nag. Aanbindings van stokoue gewoontes iewers in sig.
I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Also look to his homepage for his YouTube channel. Back to Claudio.
Back to me. Hope you folks enjoyed that. And if there were any Afrikaners out there, I hope you enjoyed it in Afrikaans.
Amazing.
Claudio, how many languages do you speak?
5 altogether. But I'm fluent in English, Afrikaans, German. I speak what is called a kitchen French, and because I speak Afrikaans and German, I have a strong capacity for Dutch.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
It really is.
I am so glad to know you.
Very talented.
Call you my brother.
Likewise, the beauty of speaking these different languages, each language has their own philosophical bent and different way of looking at things. Words are put together a different way in other languages because they have a different philosophical slant. Okay. And to see these different perspectives really sort of broadens my personal horizons when I'm writing something, because I can see in more than one dimension as to how something like this could be responded to, or what somebody from another culture would express and why. I noticed that in American cinema, unlike European cinema, when they show a character that is from another country, they have him phrasing perfect American English. They just dub it with an accent. And that's really not how it goes. They would... People from other cultures would actually use different words to try to compensate for what they don't say in English, instead of speaking a fluent English with a broken accent.
Right.
So that's one of the things I need to point out to some American film directors. Let's get authentic here. Anyway, I want to go back to Jacques Guilbert. Jacques, is there any other particular aspect that you wanted to bring up about the police department, or things that I've missed out on since I haven't seen you in quite some time?
Well, not too much. I mean, it's just been a busy time.
I know you said you had you felt like you had a lot more responsibility now as the captain. Explain to us what a police captain actually is, if you don't mind.
Well, a police captain. Well, let me start off with the ranks. You start out with you have a police officer, and then depending on what agency you're in, but at Apex is police officer one, police officer two, and then there's a master police officer, and then the elevation from there is a corporal, and then a sergeant, and then we have captains. Captains, they actually manage and lead divisions of people, and then just above the captain is the chief of police.
Gotcha.
So the administrative captain role, there's a myriad of things that they are responsible for.
No doubt.
As far as responsibilities and tasks and assignments, it's probably the largest division to manage. So with that, I'm a one-man show. I do have support staff, and they do an amazing job, but I could use about 55,000 more people.
Wow. Hint, hint, in case you guys are listening.
Yes.
Find some fat cats to support this.
But yes, but we get the job done because those guys there, they have a passion to serve. And that's no what doubt. It's all about. And you and I talked about before about your passion to do this. And if you didn't have it in your heart, if you didn't love it, it wouldn't come out as amazing as what I heard just a few minutes ago.
Thank you. Thank you. No, you definitely can't be as good at anything. Or let's say you can't become great at something unless you really love it.
Yes.
If you don't really love it, there's always going to be something missing.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And obviously, you're in the profession that you are meant to be in. And even as a chef, I was a writer, a storyteller, who became a chef. So my creativity still had my all, even though I gave a lot of myself to being a chef. There was a lot held in reserve for my true love. And it was, to me, the chefing was a means to gather experience, to have adventures and so on. And as a result, I never really needed my creativity to pay my bills. So I lived on the money a successful chef made. And now I'm trying to switch that. Now I want to retire into my art and just do the art. And it's a little tricky, but I'm getting there slowly but surely.
Wow. Well, I'm just so glad that you're just receiving the gift that God gave you, and you're doing what you need to do to keep you happy. And I would say the first time I met you at the Apex Farmers Market, your voice just poured me right in. And then just hearing that while ago, I mean, it's just like I'm there, you know, wherever the environment is, I'm there. So your voice, man, is just something special.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sir.
I remember how well we connected at the Apex Farmers Market. I mean, there was sort of a pretty good vibe out there anyway. But when you and I connected, it was like people just started listening to what we were talking about.
I remember that well. Yep, that's exactly right.
And I gave him a dose of my Tropical Moon as his birthday present today.
Delicious. I know what I'm having tonight.
All right. Jacques, I remember the first time I heard Claudio. I was in the car listening on the radio to WCOM. I'd never met Claudio. And I hear him on the air with...
Curtis Ingram. Who owns the Rock and Roll Music Museum in Thomasville.
Okay.
And Curtis is this big man. Curtis is what?
Great six, voice. Big
six,
bass
four,
voice. Yeah.
300 pounds, and he has this deep bass solid voice, and I'm saying to myself, who are these two guys on the air? And I came right by and went in the studio, introduced myself, and from there we became close friends.
How could you not like a guy that comes walking in, first time you ever see him, goes, you guys sound great, man, who are you?
That's basically what happened.
That's what it was.
Awesome. And I knew you were enhancing the station, and we needed all the help we could get, especially back then. And this was, 7 or 8 years ago?
course, they had your great show already, so you had some goodwheels turning. And just to let people know, on the 29th, I have the honor of having Jacques Menache, who pretty much created the Carbro Arts Center, as well as WCOM, coming on this show, and that's the day I'm going to pick to introduce the new element of my radio theater, the monologues.
I'm looking forward to that show, and as you know, Jacques is a special person here in Carbro.
Absolutely. I've been wanting him on a lot sooner, but this just felt like the time would be right.
He has a good name, I tell you.
Jacques is also an artist.
Jacques, you have just been complimented by the chief of the captain of the Apex Police. So he'll give you some slack.
Yeah, maybe so.
We are not picking up any phones today, so folks, if you're inclined to call, I noticed somebody's ringing. Please forgive us, but we're not picking up the phone line. So why don't we go to just a little more music, and then we'll keep on trucking with Jacques.
Tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carbro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carbro. Thanks for listening to our station.
And that was how I sounded right after having that skateboard accident.
You know, Claudio, that was Molly Frank when she
That's such a cute voice.
She was about 6 or 7 years old, and Chris Frank, her father, who was our first station manager, recorded her then.
That's a great catch.
It really is a great
idea. I'm sure even she
idea.
Has to listen back to it now. That's how I sounded yes. once upon a time when my voice broke.
She is now a freshman at UNC.
Do you know what she's taking?
I have no idea. But
yeah, that's probably our most lovable voice on WCOM.
Without a doubt.
Look out, skateboarders.
Here we come.
Mind your P's and Q's. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about family life. Introduce us to your wife and your kids and say a little something about
the
family.
Oh, yes, yes. I have an amazing, I have the best family. I mean, I don't mean to disrespect anybody.
We all have to say that, don't we?
That's right. But no, they have really been good to me. You know, being in a business for 20, well, it's my 25th year.
It takes a strong woman, yeah.
Yes, my wife has been very supportive, and she's amazing, blessing from God. And then, of course, I have a daughter. She went to Campbell University last year, and now she's transferring to UNC Charlotte.
Hmm.
So, and she wants to be in communication. So,
fantastic.
She has a radio voice too. Well, you have to get her here one day.
Obviously, yeah, absolutely. Bring it on. I mean it. Obviously, takes after her father because you have a fantastic speaking voice.
Thank you. And then I have a son who's 8th grade middle school. So, they let me do what I need to do in the community. Very supportive, and they even come along to help me do what I need to do. So, amazing family. I can't say enough about them.
Do you think you have any sense of the aspirations of your son?
I don't know. I always say, "What do you want to be a police officer?" And he says, "Definitely not." So,
is he particularly fascinated by anything?
He's very much into science.
Interesting.
Yes,
okay.
He has the brain for.
Well, we need more good scientists. Yes, there's no doubt about that because this world has gone stupid.
We talked about that before.
Yes, we did. Cutting down the very lungs we need to breathe, called trees.
Right.
And just amazing. Yeah, we had this conversation on the way over here that the American Indians told us a long time ago that trees are literally their roots bring water up from out of the earth, and which forms little creeks or little rivers to sustain them. You'll notice that they frequently grow around these places. That's because they've summoned that out of the earth to take care of them, but then also to share with the environment. Right. And they also draw the clouds that drink the water out of the rivers that they pulled up and then feed the forest. And by cutting down a forest, you're cutting down a life cycle that affects us. Mm. It's the only thing that cleans up our pollution. And I pass log trucks.
Yes.
And it's just, to me, it's insanity.
Right.
But that's me.
Well, again, as we talked about before, sometimes it's hard for a natural mind to grasp that. But
yeah,
we all know that.
You got to see past your nose.
See past your nose. Yep. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So power to him becoming a scientist, and certainly your daughter. I wish her well in communications, and I would love to have her on the show.
Yes.
You know, I like the old man, so bring the girl.
All right, we can do that. No problem. Well, thank you.
So tell us how you came up in the ranks here, because and I hate to approach the subject quite this way, but it is much more of a challenge for a black man to accomplish what you have accomplished, especially in this area.
Yes.
And there's still some solid rednecks in some of those regions that you thrived in.
Yes.
You know, how did you come up through the ranks like that? That just amazes me.
I look back and say, I have no idea. You know, I look back, I was just reflecting the other day. I was like 25 years at Apex. First of all, I had no desire to be a police officer.
Wow, I didn't know that.
In the town that I was raised in. I mean, and you know, growing up in Apex, it was just a generation thing where you just didn't look at police work. That was just not a profession that you
And there was at. There was a time, too, being a black man, it was a little oppressive in those regions.
Absolutely. Yeah I mean, the community I was raised in at that time was just not, there was a lot of things going on, bad elements. So for me to take the route as a police officer was unprecedented and definitely outside the norm. But, you know, and I just, one day it just hit me. My spirit said, you know, you need to make a difference in that way. And I never looked back, never turned back. And there were some challenges along the way, as you can expect in the South. But I kept pressing forward, just like anybody that has a dream and a vision should do. So I would say a lot of that, I have to give honor to God first.
No doubt.
But I would say that I had great supportive people at Apex Police. And then some other people in my life that just kept encouraging me to continue on.
What actually got you into it? When was that moment of transition?
Well, I had a friend who got into it. He went with the Raleigh Police Department, but just seeing him, and no disrespect to him, but he just made it look so easy. I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it.
Right.
But it was really just saying, I think I can. I believe I can do this.
How about? And again, I don't mean to be redundant. How about overcoming the black and white problem as you did? Because you're talking about the heyday of it.
Yeah. I think again, going back, it was guys that were already at the police department, and I can name three guys right now that kind of took me under their wing and said, we're going to stand with you.
All right.
We're not going to allow anything to happen to you. And that gave me enough encouragement, enough strength to continue to press forward. And
gotcha.
They were like my big brothers, you know. And when those times came, they stood there and defended me and were right there with me. So I owe them the world.
No doubt.
Yeah. So.
And then, you know, rising in the ranks as you did, and you still have that kind of harmony. Yes. That says amazing things.
It is. And, you know, it's one thing, too, and I'll just put it out, and one thing I'm working on now, we have to get out of a traditional mindset, and I mean that for some of the African-American people, that I want them to even consider police work because it's a promising career. You can really make a tremendous impact in that way, and we have to get out of the mindset that a police officer is not the way to go. That's not a good profession. Actually, it is, and I'm living proof.
I think there's a lot of discouraging things happening with these constant black and white situations we see in other parts of the country where there's police violence on both sides, but predominantly lately what's been exposed is police violence, and,
yes.
and I'm sure you get a bad apple in every bunch.
Right, absolutely, and it's case by case, and
right.
You know, to put people through scenarios and basically say you take the driver's seat now and tell me what you would do when presented this scenario, it's easier said than done.
No doubt.
There's a lot going on in the mind, and you really have to be careful. So when people start speaking about liability, unfortunately, that puts a police officer a few seconds behind because they're so concerned with what may happen to me if I pull the trigger, if I do something wrong. And that's not good for a police officer. On the flip side, though, police officers must continue to realize that they're there to serve people.
To serve and protect.
So yeah. It shouldn't be entitlement or become just concerned about self. So,
and it seems to me, from what I've seen on the media, especially recently, that, I know this is the case, especially through you, the gun is the absolute last resort. Whereas in these situations that have been exposed, it looked like the gun was the first resort.
Yes.
Not even being threatened by a weapon. So that's just a bad apple. That doesn't need to be seen as a police officer.
Right. And I hate to really judge those situations because I wasn't there. I don't know what's going on.
Kind of a judgment either. It's just the obvious passion that that the public seems to get from this is that this cop just pulled a gun and started shooting.
Right.
And you do have to question when somebody gets shot 8 times and there was never a weapon drawn by the other person that got shot.
Yes.
But
there's a lot to dissect. And,
yes,
and the perception goes in many different directions. So, but those are interesting points that you bring up, and certainly we hope things kind of simmer down with those confrontations, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can continue to move forward. And I think the way to do that is just continue to educate the community of what we do, and then we need to hear from the community of what they expect us to do.
And I think you said a key thing, too. We need to get out of the traditional mindset.
Yes.
We don't need to stay with what has been done and has been repeated. We need to stay with the moment. Be
yes.
spontaneous. Be present in your moment and deal from that perspective.
Yes. I'm a huge sports fan, and the best teams, they make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
As the game goes along.
So you have to.
You have to make adjustments.
Life doesn't stand still.
Yes,
you
sir.
You constantly got to adjust. That's how it keeps you alive.
Yes, sir.
You start falling out of that rhythm and leaning on old things and repeating the old. That's been my concern with a lot of theater. They keep redoing Shakespeare and the old stuff. But give me something from somebody that's alive now.
Yes.
You know, instead of just constantly doing the traditional.
I want to hear Claudio.
Thank you.
I don't want the traditional stuff. I want to hear Claudio.
Well, you will. You're going to be part of that.
All right.
Let's go to another tune, Rocco. This is great.
You're listening to WCOM, the Triangle's premier innovative radio station. We broadcast something for everyone at 103.5 FM and online at WCOMFM.org.
Science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science community, right here on WCOM LPFM.
Your time is important. Thanks for taking us along. Now back to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater.
Well, me again. Do I have to?
You have to, Claudio.
Well, Jacques, is there anything that we haven't wrapped up yet? I know we've touched on the family, we've touched on the new responsibilities, and I truly hope that if there is an increase in Apex, that it comes gradually so that
yes.
you guys can live with the expansions. But I also hope that Apex doesn't turn into a little city.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to be avoided, because the more they come, you know, when you run out of property, you got to go up, right?
Yeah, you got to go up, and I don't know, but we'll hope for the best, and we'll make those adjustments as we talked about before.
Well, I'm going to find out where all these people are leaving from to come here, and that's where I'm going.
That might
so look for me there.
That don't sound like a bad strategy.
So look for me there, Rocco. Is there anything that we've missed here that you want to interject?
I think we covered the bases, Claudio. What do you have coming up next week?
Next week, I have a musician entertainer coming on, and I'm not going to give any names out just yet. And he also has a business of how to stay fit and trim. So I met this guy at Shagfest, and we just really sort of hit it off, and I told him I had a show. But I warned him. I said, you can't just come on the show and, you know, roll tape and talk about your business. It's going to have to be a conversation. I told Jacques earlier this morning that I've stopped accepting phone calls from authors, because oftentimes all they do is they wait for an excuse to roll tape and just do what they can to promote their book. There've been a few that I've had on right. where I couldn't have opened a conversation with a stick of dynamite.
Mm.
And unless you want to talk to me, don't call. That's
like
the whole game plan. Just like you and I conversing.
Yes.
I don't think we're doing it any different now than when we're hanging out in the car.
No. We were chilling in the car, just conversing. So yeah,
pretty much.
Carried over to the radio.
And now you said you have a personal interest in sort of exploring radio for yourself, especially when you retire and
right.
around that time. What is it about radio that intrigues you?
It always has. I mean,
and why radio as opposed to television or other mediums?
Well, I think I could do both. I mean, I'm a good looking guy, right?
Yeah,
I
yeah,
do
yeah,
TV,
yeah, definitely,
right?
Definitely. Handsome guy, absolutely.
I'm kidding.
You just got to take off the wig and stockings, honey.
Exactly. No, it's just always been radio. I remember having the record player in my room and just listening to music. It's always mm-hmm. music. It's always just, I don't know, it's just, it really just excites me, and it just motivates me and brings the best out of me. And then just you know, hearing DJs, I mean, it just always
That's
something
I
was
ask,
intrigued by. So, but then when I met you and then did the show a couple of years ago, I really felt comfortable, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you were natural.
Yeah.
Just like you are right now. I mean,
you know, Jacques and Claudio, Jacques said that you like sports. I sometimes like to listen to the sporting event on the radio more so than watching it on television.
I can imagine
I
that.
Have to agree, Rocco.
Some of these boxing matches from the past, these Muhammad Ali fights, and you'd hear the announcer, you know, he's throwing a left, a right, another left, or a horse race. It can
right.
be more exciting when you're not even seeing it.
And when you're doing other things and listening while you're doing it. To me, that is so much more.
Yes. And, totally
and
agree.
It's always great to hear a great sporting event on the radio.
Mm-hmm. I remember right. listening to the boxing matches, too, on a little transistor
sure.
radio in South Africa. Always had one with me. And when the Beatles first came out, you know, I got this little tinny sound, but I loved it.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when there wasn't any television of anything on the air.
I grew up without it, too.
And you had to listen to the radio to hear sporting events.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you still look so young, Rocco. Wow.
I don't know about that.
He's a young 30, yes. Well, happy birthday, buddy. I'm so honored that you would actually come on the show on your born day, as you put it.
Yeah, you know, I'm booked up, you know, for the past 8
That's
months.
Right.
But, you know, for Claudio, no,
kidding.
No, it's really been a pleasure, man. And I really, truly thank you for having me
well,
on.
Well, we're going to continue this. And like I said, I'm going to involve you in some of the radio theater coming up because I like your voice and I like your presence. And I can direct you in whatever we need to do. So
thank you.
Make an actor out of you. So when you do your radio thing, you know, I'll help add some dimensions to it. And I'd love to hang out together and do some radio together. So
well, I'm looking forward to it.
I think you'd be a natural on that.
Thank you, sir.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you, my friend.
Happy birthday.
All right.
Thank you, folks, for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham. Just check out their website, see what they got going on, as well as the Apex Arts Council, downtown Apex. And Rocco, thank you for your usual splendid assistance here.
Always a pleasure to be on with you.